Well, there is a true story told about a young boy and his dad who one day were out in the country climbing around on some cliffs. The dad heard a voice from above shout, "Hey Dad, catch me!" He turned around to see his son joyfully jump off a cliff straight at him. You see, he jumped and then yelled, "Hey Dad!" Well, the father became an instant circus act, as of course was absolutely necessary, and he caught the youngster. They both fell to the ground, and it made the father rather lose his breath, so he couldn't speak for a few seconds. But then he gasped in exasperation, "Son, can you give me one good reason why you did that?" And the boy responded with remarkable calmness, "Yes, because you're my dad." Well, that child's assurance was based on the fact that his father was trustworthy. He could live life to the full because he knew that his dad was someone who was reliable. He knew what his dad was like. He talked with him. He knew how kind he was to him. And he knew he could be relied upon to provide what was needed when he was asked. Well, this morning, in our sermon series, we come to a third parable that Luke records coming from the lips of Jesus. And what we learn shows us that God is the loving heavenly Father, far, far better than any earthly father, and the one to whom we can pray and ask things of. Well, the parable, it's usually called The Friend at Midnight, and you can find it in Luke chapter 11, which is on page 1047 of the Black Church Bibles. Now, this parable is inspired by a request from the disciples. Chapter 11 of Luke, verse 1. So it's page 1047. "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.'" Well, the way that Jesus answers turns on its head so many human ideas about what it means to pray. And we see firstly that when we pray, we must remember that God is our Father of whom we are to ask things. Now, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he replied with the words that have become known as the Lord's Prayer. Now, Matthew's Gospel contains the fuller version that we tend to use, and here Luke quotes Jesus giving a shorter form. Now, most of us know the Lord's Prayer off by heart, and it reminds me of a story I once heard about a 3-year-old girl who was being taught the Lord's Prayer. It was rehearsed every bedtime for several evenings, and finally her dad said, "Well, look, I think you've probably got it now. You have a go on your own." And the child carefully enunciated each word right up to the end of the prayer. "Lead us not into temptation," she prayed, "but deliver us some email. Amen." At least makes you think about the words, because you can just say them off, doesn't it? Can't we? So it's important to stop and think about each clause, that "deliver us from evil" is very important. Well, the Lord's Prayer, this pattern prayer that Jesus gives us to base our praying on, must surely be the best known prayer in the world. But the most remarkable thing about it is surely its beginning. Verse 2. Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name,'" and so on. To personally address the creator of the universe, the holy, powerful and awesome God, as Father, was a revolutionary idea. Now, there are hints of recognising the fatherhood of God in the Old Testament, but it is something very new that Jesus introduces to encourage his people to pray to God in such a personal and intimate way that we should consider him our loving Father in heaven. Now, this is something very different to what you find in other worldviews, other ways of understanding the divine. Bilquis Sheikh was a high-born Muslim, the wife of a minister of the interior in Pakistan. She became a follower of Jesus and wrote about how she had come to know God in a personal way. She called her autobiography, "I Dared to Call Him Father." But you know, I think that we're so familiar with the idea of God as Father that it's worth taking a few minutes to moments to think about what it actually means. You see, in a way, God is the Father of people by virtue of having made us. In that sense, as Creator, he is everyone's Father. But naturally speaking, we are all those who have turned away from God's love. We've refused his loving rule. We are rebels against him as the God of love. And therefore, we have lost our privileges as the children of God. Yet through Jesus and his death and resurrection, God has sorted out that most serious of spiritual problems. When we rely on Jesus, God forgives us. He accepts us. He rescues us from the judgment that we deserve. And he declares us righteous, right before him. To use the New Testament's phrase, we are justified. So because of God's work in us, God welcomes us into his family. In other words, God is someone's true father only because they have been adopted as his son or daughter because of Jesus. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father. And that word, which in the original is Abba, was the intimate name that a child would call their male parent. It was something a bit like our word dad. But it's not an over-familiar term, so it's perhaps not quite what we would use as daddy. But what a reminder that is, that God is the Father who we, as his adopted children, can always approach and talk to. Now we're going to think more about the implications of this when we look at the parable itself in a moment. But before we do that, did you notice how Jesus prefaces his pattern prayer? When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. And then he lists the things which we should ask of our Heavenly Father. Now this is, I think, a timely reminder that according to Jesus, prayer is asking God for things. And that might seem obvious, but there are some, sometimes influenced by questionable ideas popular in medieval times or in contemporary Eastern mysticism, that asking God is a somewhat substandard form of prayer. You know, you may have heard this sort of thing. You know, asking God is not really the key thing about prayer. The highest form of prayer is silence. Now, whilst there might well be times when it's right to be humbly quiet before God, dwelling on the truth of his word, his greatness, how awesome he is, how weak and sinful we are, it is hard to find the idea of praying without talking to God and asking him for things in the Bible. And if we're not careful, we can be discouraged from doing the very thing that Jesus tells us here to do. That is to ask him. So Jesus' prayer here in verses 2 to 4 sets the example. When you pray, say to your Father, please we ask you, may your reputation and all that you are be respected. Please we ask, would your loving rule, your kingdom be extended more and more? Please we ask, give us our everyday needs, not incidentally our greeds. Please we ask, give us forgiveness of our sins. Please we ask, deliver us from strong temptation. So Jesus' teaching shows us that when we pray, we must remember that God is our Father, the Father of whom we are to ask things. But we also see, as we turn to the parable, that when we pray, we must remember that God our Father is not reluctant to hear us and to answer. And so we must keep at it. Do you remember Jesus' slightly puzzling parable that we read? To put the parable in 21st century terms, it goes something like this. Imagine a situation where you're put in a bit of a spot. Your old friend, who you keep up with, drops in on you late one evening in a bit of a state. You're completely out of food, having been too tied up to get the weekly shop from Asda, and given the time, your usual stopgap, the co-op, is shut. Well, your old friend still needs a meal, so what are you going to do? Then you think of your neighbour, who you get on with pretty well. Now you know that they're early risers and therefore early to bed people, but you decide that you have no alternative. You pick up your phone and you give them a ring. The phone rings and rings, no reply. You hang up and try again. You know that they're in because the curtains are closed and the car's on the drive. Still no reply. But you're committed now, so you try their mobile number because you know that your neighbour keeps that by the side of their bed. Well, eventually your neighbour answers and you tell them it's you. They say, what on earth are you doing ringing at this time of night? And you say, well, look, I'm sorry to bother you, but I have this friend and they need a meal and so on. And your neighbour says, in extreme annoyance, you've woken me up from a deep sleep. And if I get up, I'll probably wake the little ones and set the dog off. It's so cold tonight and the heating's not working properly. I'll freeze to death if I get out from under this duvet. Frankly, I'm just not going to help you. And hangs up. Well, you decide that having got this far, knowing your neighbour has what you want, that you're not going to give up just because they're not keen to get out of the warmth of their bed. So you ring them again. And your neighbour answers, "Not you again! Will you never get the hint?" And hangs up. And then taking another look at your friend, looking rather fed up and hungry, you take a deep breath, you pick up the phone, and you press the redial button yet again. And this time, your neighbour picks up the phone and says, "Ah, you are such a pain! I can see the only way to shut you up is to get some wretched food for you. I'll bring you round a couple of microwavable dinners that I have downstairs. But then please, let us get some sleep." You know, though your neighbour will not get up and give you anything because they are usually friendly, yet because of your bold, shameless persistence, they will get out of bed to give you what you need. Well, it might be easy to misunderstand what Jesus intends to learn from that, us to learn from that parable. If we try and link up the different characters and say that we are the host and our grumpy, irritated neighbour is God, well, then we could end up with a rather disturbing image of God's character. But as we read this parable in its context, we can see that it doesn't work by similarity. Rather, it works by contrast. And we know this because we've just been taught by Jesus that God is our loving Heavenly Father, who through his grace has adopted us into his family as his children. God who loves to have us ask him for things. So in Jesus' story, what we are to grasp supremely is the difference between God and that reluctant neighbour. Human friends, like all of us, because of their sinfulness, may well be reluctant to give us what we need when we ask, particularly if it's inconvenient. How different is our generous, loving Father God? Well, Jesus underlines this with what comes next. Verse 11. He says, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You see, God is like the very best father. He loves his children, and he wants to give us good things. Jesus says, look, if you human dads, though you're sinful and broken people, still generally speaking care and love for your children, how much more the heavenly dad? And that, I think, brings us to a key truth. Prayer is not so much about the one who prays as the one to whom we pray. Prayer is not so much about the one who prays as the one to whom we pray. You see, people may write books about special formulas or words for prayer. People may run prayer seminars about techniques or special postures to adopt. But at the heart of what prayer is really about is talking with our loving Heavenly Father, who is not like that irritated so-called friend, but rather generously wants to answer our requests. And did you notice the way that Jesus defines the ultimate good gift that we can be confident God the Father will give us when we ask, there in verse 13? "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You see, the greatest gift that we can receive is God himself. God the Holy Spirit, who dwells in those who trust in Jesus and who does for us all that Jesus would do if he was here on earth with us. So we can ask God, knowing that he wants to give us the help of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to live for him, to become more like Jesus, to help us understand his word in the Bible, to equip us to serve through the church family. And the Holy Spirit can even help us to do the very asking of our loving Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, something the Apostle Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 8. How much, then, do we need to hear these words of Jesus? We can so easily allow prayer to get squeezed out of our lives. We may slip into false views of God that discourage our prayers, thinking him unable or unwilling to listen or to act, or that he is not interested in our lives, seeing as there's so much going on in the world that he has to deal with. We can start to think that God is not answering, or that our feelings are the main indicator of whether God has heard us or not. We can be discouraged by our enemy, the devil, who doesn't want us to pray. Or we can easily drift into simply thinking it isn't worth it. Well, Jesus here gives us great encouragement. God is not like that reluctant neighbour who is not wanting to help us. No, quite the opposite. God is our Father who loves us to talk to Him and ask Him for things. God is our Father in heaven who is powerful and in control and can use our prayers to forward His sovereign purposes, even though we might not understand how that works. Prayer to our Heavenly Father is not only worth it, it is vital, and it is the privilege of His adopted children. Well, having got this clear, that God is not reluctant to listen and to give, that He is our Heavenly Father, the parable does remind us that sometimes our experience of prayer may seem a little like asking a reluctant neighbour. Sometimes we ask God and it seems that He doesn't give us what we've asked Him for. You may have heard people use the phrase, the problem of unanswered prayer. Well, you know, the truth is that actually prayer is always answered by God. It's just that He doesn't always answer all our prayers yes straight away. Sometimes He does. Other times He says effectively no, aware as a loving Father that what we ask for is not actually what we need or what is best for us. Other times His answer is something like wait. Perhaps we have something to learn in a period of waiting, to keep our focus on Him, to remember our dependence on Him. And then we shall be more grateful when He does say yes and give us what we ask for. And we shall also probably have learned to trust Him and to depend on Him in a fresh way, thus deepening and making more special that father-child relationship that we have. It's perhaps these sorts of experiences that the parable helps us with, as well as this main point that God is not like the irritated neighbour. And that is that because God longs to give to His children, we need to stick at praying and asking. It's all too easy to play at prayer and easily give up. But because God is good, we should be encouraged that it is worth persevering. It is worth persisting in prayer. So, Jesus says, verse 10, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. You see, our loving Heavenly Father longs to respond to His people by giving help, by enabling His people to find what they need, by opening the necessary doors. Interestingly, what Jesus says literally is, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. See, it seems that God rarely answers tepid, half-hearted prayers. He wants to know that we mean it. God wants us to keep on praying, to boldly persist, even to use the word in Jesus' parable, a rather surprising word, to impudently keep at it. To boldly ask God for His help, knowing that we really mean it and really want what we ask for. So do we keep on praying that we shall grow in likeness to Jesus and know the fruit of the Holy Spirit more in our lives? Do we keep on praying for our friends and family members to come to truly believe in Jesus? Do we keep on praying for our church family to faithfully be the body of Christ, reaching out and being a light to the world? Well, a good way to pray for that in particular is to join others in our monthly parish prayer meeting. Indeed, the next one is this coming Tuesday at 8 o'clock in the parish hall. Everyone's welcome to come along to that to pray for God's work here. When we pray then, remember, God our Father is not reluctant to hear us and to answer. So keep at it. Well, you'll remember that boy at the start, jumping off the rocks into his dad's arms. He was confident. He knew he would get help because he knew that his dad was reliable and loved him. Well, Jesus' parable reminds us how much more Christians, adopted sons and daughters of a Heavenly Father, can have humble confidence that we are in safe hands, that we can ask God for help in all things. When we pray then, remember God is our Father of whom we are to ask things. And when we pray, remember God our Father is not reluctant to hear an answer. So keep at it. Let's pray together.